Good morning, everyone. We can start today's lecture. Do you have any questions from the last lecture? No? Okay. So we are now in week 43. In the previous week, we saw what the XML is, what is the purpose of it, why we are creating the XML file, just to make sure that we are keeping the data separate from the programming scripts. Okay. And then we saw, okay, we have an XML file, what we can do with it. Then we looked at the XPath expressions, how to process the data and be able to read and display certain contents from the XML document. In today's lecture, we are going to go one step further. And in this week, we will see different processing XML data techniques. Okay. We will look at two of these parsers that can take the XML file, prepare it for the data manipulation, and we can use it in our applications, either on the web or for the desktop purposes. Okay. So in the last week, we just saw how we can store the XML file, how we can create it, and what we can do in a very limited scope. Now we will see how we can extend it further and use a certain standard and the APIs to manipulate that XML file. Just to give you an information, your exercise 5 obligatory exercise has been published on the Frontier and you can go through it. It is based on the last week exercises, last week lectures that we did. You have roughly about by the end of next week, tomorrow, to deliver your this fifth assignment. Okay. If you have any questions regarding the assignment, feel free to come to me. And if time permits, I will just go through the assignment to let you know what is expected from that, if time permits. If it does not, I'll probably send out you an email or you can check with the Martin. Okay. So in today's lecture, we are going to see some of these programming interfaces to XML. Here you can see two of these names. The first one is the SAC. Okay. And the second one is the DOM. Now, these interfaces are the application programming interfaces. That means that there has been some structured mechanism already written to process XML file. Okay. And there might be certain methods that we can use using this API to do some manipulation, to read the data, to update the tree, and to delete the values or the nodes in the tree. That means that we can process the XML file dynamically, which we cannot do before using this XPath expressions. Because XPath only allows us to display certain values that are in the XML file. Now, using these two APIs, we can actually manipulate the data, update the tree, delete the nodes, display the values, and can do all sorts of manipulation, okay, with the XML file. Then we will see and go further into the DOM API, what are different types of nodes, DOM parsing, and DOM objects and interfaces. And at the end, we will see some of these example codes which are written in PHP. The codes that we will see in the example are from the PHP, but if you are comfortable working with HTML or any other language, you can execute the same DOM parser and call it in any of these applications that you are comfortable with. So I will not make you explicitly work on the PHP code. If you are good enough with the HTML, you can use the document object model in your HTML pages by using either JavaScript or PHP code to manipulate the XML trees. But we will see what these two interfaces looks like, what are their purposes, and what is the advantage of one on top of the other. So the first one is SAX, S-A-X, which is Simple API for XML. So this is a parser. And what is the purpose of the parser? Does anyone know? Any rough guesses? No. Okay, so what does a parser do? It takes a certain file, reads it, interprets it, and translates it into any other language or any other formatting. So here we see we have an XML file on the left. We have some sort of parser. This parser is an API. It takes that XML file and do some processing. At this moment, we are not sure what kind of processing it does, but that's what we will see. So it does some processing and it creates an output file. And in this case, we see that the parser creates an output file where we have certain elements which are defined. Here we see we have content handler. Okay. That means that this kind of API is converting this XML file into another format that is easy to read and might be helpful to achieve certain objectives. So here we see an example of the same thing. We have an XML file. And now by looking at this file, you can very easily understand what it is about. Okay. So it starts with the question mark XML. That means that it's an XML file. Okay. It has a version 1.1. That means it's using XML version 1 standard. Okay. And then the first element is the data element. So we can see that it has the root node, which is the data. Then it has two child nodes, which are the entry values. We have first entry value, which is another element. And then we have another entry value, which is the second element. Okay. So this is how, in this case, the XML file looks like. Now, what does this parser do? The parser reads this XML file and creates a simple structured file, output file. Okay. The output file is now, in this case, a simple document which actually translates the file formatting from this structure to that structure. Okay. And in this case, here we have a hierarchy. In the XML file, we see that we have a root node, then we have a child nodes, and in this case, we have two child nodes. But in that case, you will not see any hierarchy. So what it has done, it has converted a hierarchy-based file into a sequential file. Okay. And if you have studied operating systems, you know what are the advantages of sequential access. You can start from the very first node, start reading the data in a sequence, one by one, and you cannot jump directly from one point to another point. You have to process it sequentially, one by one. Okay. That means that by converting the structure from this format to that format, we get certain advantages for the document which is going to process this file. Okay. And we will see what are the advantages and what are the disadvantages of creating this file into this. Now, why we are doing this? We are converting this file from one format to another format so that the application can read it easily and can interpret it easily. Okay. In some cases, your XML file could be very long and you might not have enough space in your memory to load the full XML file. If you are not able to load the full XML file, you will not be able to execute XPath queries. So if you are trying to access and write an application for the handheld devices, mobile devices, and if you have a limited amount of disk space and a limited amount of memory, you will not be able to execute and retrieve the data from a very large XML file. That means you need some form of mechanisms to convert from this format to a format in which you can easily read the file. So by using this kind of sequential formatting, you can process the data from that file without even parsing the full document. So that means you do not need to load your full XML document, if it is in that format, into your memory. So how much memory you have, you can parse that one in your memory, and then you can start processing and retrieving data. And once you are finished manipulating that data, you can read further, load it further into your memory, and then you can do it. We have an example in PHP to see how you can convert this XML file using this library, simple API for XML, and get something like this. Okay, so the code is available here. That is not important, so I will not go into this, but the link is there, so if you are interested, you can go and look at the code. How to convert your file from this format into this format. Now, if you have a file something like this, you can create your own parser in any language, depending upon how good you are with the programming IDEs. Okay. You can convert it into this format by writing your own code. You can do it in C++, you can do it in Java, you can do it in C#, you can do it in VB.NET, you can do it in VB, you can do it in PHP. And the language you name it, you can do it. It depends upon how good is your programming logic building. Okay. So that's why I will not go through this code, but this is very easy. You can go through it if it interests you, and if you do not understand anything, you can come to me and ask me how they have done it. Okay. But that is not important from the exam point of view also. So we have seen that we can convert the XML file using some of the interfaces into another format. What is the advantage of using this simple API for XML? What we can achieve from it? So we see that it provides us fast access to the first element in a large document. Why only to the first element? Any thoughts? As we have seen that it creates and converts the file into a sequential file. Okay. So sequential file is the statements which are comes first, they appear first in the converted files also. So the root node always gets the first priority in the sequential file, and then you have the other hierarchy files. So you have a sequence, the node, the element which appears first in the XML converted into this sequential file and comes first. So that means you can access the first elements very easily in the document, but you might not be able to do random element search in this case. Okay. And don't need space for the whole document in the memory. That means that we have a sequential file, how much we have converted, we can start processing it. And if our memory is less, we can replace what is already loaded in the memory, parse the rest of the XML file, and can load it into the memory again. But it has some disadvantages also. If you have a very, very large XML file, okay, and if you use the simple API for XML, that means that you will get a very large sequential document. And we know that sequential document by nature are not good enough. So we know that the sequential documents are not good enough for the random access. You cannot do the random access in the sequential documents. So you have to start from the very first and go till the end. Okay. So program structures can get complex for complex documents. If you have quite many elements and the hierarchy is quite a lot, so you have quite many nested in the XML file, then it becomes very difficult to keep working on the converted XML file. To replace that, we have this document object model. Now, the document object model is a World Wide Web W3 consortium standard, which is frequently used in your web browsers and in your application interfaces. Okay. For example, your .NET framework provides this parser and the document object model. Your web browsers have this document object model embedded into it. So whenever you load an XML file, the parser in your browser converts that file into a DOM XML file. Okay. And then it does the processing on that DOM XML file, but not the raw XML file that you provided as an input. So it always converts that file into a file that it can manipulate, it can update. So this is an alternative programming interface to XML. It provides interfacing for manipulating XML documents. And what can you do with the manipulation? You can update. You can remove a node. You can delete elements, delete attributes, add elements, add attributes, add values, add nodes. Okay. So basically, it's addition and deletion of the nodes and the elements in the document. So that's what you can do with the manipulation. Or you can change the existing node values with an updated node value. So how it works, it parses the XML documents and converts a corresponding XML tree. Okay. If you remember in the previous week, we saw that how we can convert and represent the XML file into a tree structure. For our visualization, in order to understand how we can do this XPath expressions then, because then it becomes very easy if we are able to visualize how the XML file looks like. Okay. And that's the same principle that is used by this document object model. It takes your XML file, it converts it into a tree kind of a structure, and then it does all the processing on that tree node. And we will see what are the advantages of trees with respect to sequential file. Okay. The very first advantage that you can think of, in a sequential file, everything is in sequence. So that means if I have 1,000 lines of XML file, if I convert it into the sequential file, that means I will have the same length, probably 1,000 lines, or even maybe more if I'm adding more elements. Okay. In the tree structure, I will not have the same kind of detailed length. Okay? So the length of the tree will be divided in its branches. That means if you want to go from one leaf node to another leaf node, it might be much more easier for us to traverse the tree and to update the tree. And it is easy to visualize. We can very easily understand what we have in the document. Okay? So we can navigate through the XML trees. Because it's a tree, we know how we can navigate. We have seen some of the navigation using the XPath expressions. We have a root node. We go to the nutrition. We have another slash that defines that we are changing the hierarchy. We go to the food elements. We have another slash, and then we pick what are the food elements we want to pick. Or we can use predicate logic there. So in this case, we can navigate through the XML trees. We can manipulate the XML trees values, okay, and serialize XML trees as textual XML documents. That means that we can save the tree structure, convert it into a representation file, and save it into the desktop or in your computers. Okay. And you can implement it in many languages, and this has been implemented already in quite many languages. So the parser is already implemented, and your browser already has this parser. Your IDEs, okay, have these parsers. So if you are working in C#, you have a .NET IDE, or if you are using Visual.NET, okay, you already have these parsers embedded into those applications. So that means the mechanism of converting from the XML file to this XML tree, DOM tree is already there. You just need to know how to use it. You need to know what are the methods that you can use it. And there are quite many methods that you will learn over a period of time by practicing it and by using it. I do not remember myself all the names of it, but I remember the ones which I have been frequently using it. But there is always an help file that you can use to actually see what methods are there and what you can do with it. But if you are able to understand what is the purpose of it and how the structure looks like, then it becomes very easy for you to traverse the document and update the document. Okay. So what is the W3C DOM? W3C stands for World Wide Web Consortium. This is an organization that defines and develops these web technology related standards. Okay. So the W3 document object model is a platform and language neutral interface that allows programs and scripts to dynamically access and update the content. So the keyword here is dynamically. That means that once you have converted your XML file into the DOM tree structure, you can update it at the runtime. In your application, if you are acquiring more data, you can represent and save that data by updating the tree. Okay. For example, if my XML file has a student's record, all the names, the age of the students, the grade of the students, let's say, and I've created a DOM tree structure. So I have all the nodes of the students and my application is processing all those nodes. And if a new student comes to my class, I can acquire his data and populate the tree accordingly. Okay. That you cannot do with your raw XML file. That means you have to go through it manually. You cannot do it dynamically. So here with this, you can do it dynamically. So the DOM is divided into three parts. There are three different kinds of document object model which are already defined. The first one is the core DOM. It provides the basic node structures and basic methods for processing the structured documents. Okay. So it's a standard for any structured document that you can use to create a tree structure and then process it. And then there are special document object models which are designed keeping in mind the XML documents, XML elements. Okay. So we have seen that in XML we have user defined elements. And that's why we said that your XML file has to be a well formed XML file. If it starts an element, it has to end the element explicitly. If you do not, the parser cannot add the element by itself because the elements are user defined. If it's an HTML document and if you are converting HTML document, HTML tags, HTML elements into this HTML DOM tree, then even if we have do not some elements explicitly closed, the parser can still add it by themselves and understand what the element is. We have seen in case of the break statement BR, okay, and we have seen in case of the input statement, okay. So if you remember in the last week I saw you one example in which we have a node and then we have input elements. It was a form where the FORM was in capital, the closing ones in small case, and we said it's not well formed because they are not matching, and then you have input elements. And we did not close those input elements. That will work in your HTML code. Your HTML compiler will be able to compile that, but your XML parser will not be able to understand that. That's why we emphasized a lot on writing well-formed XML documents. And that's the purpose here. Because XML has user-defined tags, the parser might not know when the tag element starts and when it should close as per the user. And what might be the keywords that a user might be using. So that's why they have specialized DOM tree structure which is specifically designed for XML elements. So here we see the XML DOM for a standard for XML documents, and then we have an HTML DOM which is a standard for HTML documents. Okay. Now what does it do? It has the same XML file. It does some parsing, so the parsing is done by this DOM parser, and it converts a tree like structure. Remember, this tree is different from the tree that we created in the last lecture. The tree that we were creating in the last lecture were for our visualization. Okay, and in that case, the attributes and the text portion is a part of the element itself. In this case, we will see what are the differences from the tree that we created in the last case. So here we see that it takes an XML file, does some processing, and converts it into a tree. So the XML DOM defines the object and properties of all XML elements. So whatever is in your XML file, whatever are the elements, okay, they are treated as objects. Okay, so all the elements in your XML are treated like as objects, and each object is represented by a node in your DOM tree. So all the elements are nodes in your DOM tree, and the properties are the attributes which are associated with this. Each property and attribute is also treated as a separate node in this XML DOM tree structure, and the methods to access them. Now, methods are sort of like functions that you can use to either traverse the tree, to update the tree, delete certain node, remove certain node, append a child, add a child, remove a child, go to the next sibling, go to the previous sibling, and it provides many different functions that you can use. And the interfaces here means that it provides you a linked relationship to move around easily in the tree. So now, what are the advantages and disadvantages of using DOM parsers? We see that it provides full access to the entire document through the process. That means that you will not be able to do any processing on the DOM tree until it has fully processed and parsed the XML file. Okay. So it needs to read the XML file fully, and then it creates a DOM tree. And then you can process it. But the advantage is that it provides us the full access to the entire document, because all the tree is updated and converted fully, and then we can do some further processing. Can be used to create XML documents in addition to processing. You can also create XML documents from the files or from your HTML pages. So if you have an HTML page which does not have the XML elements, it can convert the HTML elements from the web pages, and it can create the XML files. Okay. Or it can create CSV files or different files by parsing it, creating a DOM tree structure, and then from that DOM tree structure converting it into the XML file. The disadvantages are the entire documents needs to be parsed. You cannot do any processing until you have parsed the full document. Okay. That means that it should be dependent on enough memory space. You need to have the enough memory space to be able to use it to display the data or update the content. You cannot do it by just pulling certain portion of the output document in your cache or in your memory. You need to have the full tree loaded in your document. And processing cannot start until entire document has been parsed. That's what we have already talked about. Now, so these are the two basic libraries, simple API for XML, okay, and the document object model. The first one is very basic. You can write it by yourself in any of these languages. Okay. And the second one is the standard, which is provided by the W3C consortium, that provides you a node structure of the tree, and it has certain methods that we can use to process the XML file. Okay. Now we will go further into the document object model API. What are the methods and what are the nodes that it defines, and how we can use it to do some manipulation on the XML tree structure. Okay. So if you look at this node types, we see that they are more or less the same as we have seen for the XML document. Okay, there are two additional node types that we see here. In the XML, we have the C data, we have the attribute, we have the content, we have the entity references, processing instructions, and text. The DOM provides two additional nodes. Okay, that is document type, because now every element in the XML is treated as a node element in DOM model. So that means we then need to define what kind of node it is, whether it's a element node, it's an attribute node, or it's a tree node. So for example, we have this node. We do not know what kind of node it is, so we need to define the type of this node document. So that's the additional parameter that the DOM tree structure provides. Okay. So the document content converted to a tree of DOM objects. We have these kinds of representations. So one node, many other nodes, all are representing the element in the XML file. The DOM node is the mother of all DOM objects. In the XML, we said that we have the root node, which is at the top hierarchy. In this case, we have a node, which is also relevant to the root node, but it is called the mother node, and it provides us with different interfaces. Okay? And each type of node has its special subclasses. So this node could be an attribute node, it could be a seed data node, it could be a text node, it could be a processing instruction, it could be a comment node. So each of these attributes, elements, and types that we have in the XML file is illustrated as a separate node here. So here we see an example. Root in the DOM core class hierarchy, mother to interfaces for special types of nodes. That means that we have a one higher level node, which is the root node, and then we have the other nodes. So here we see document node, which is the document itself, okay, the tree document. Then we have the element node. Element node corresponds to all the elements in the XML file. For example, we have these elements, let's say name. We have a name element, and we have certain text, and we close this name element. So this element becomes a separate node in the DOM model. Okay, the attributes, if we have certain attributes with this name, okay, whatever the attributes might be in this case, okay, let's say ID. So this ID is an attribute of name. It becomes a part of this node, okay, in this case. But we could have many other attributes, which becomes a separate node in the DOM model. We will see how it is represented. And then we have attributes and text. Remember, the text is considered as a separate node. So if I have a name here, let's say Ali, so this is a text type. Now this text is part of this element node. But when you are writing and converting it to the DOM tree structure, you have one node, which is the name node, and you have another node, which is this text node. Okay, and it will be a child to this element node, right? It will not be a part of this as an attribute or as a text, but in the DOM model, it will be treated as a separate node element. And we will see the examples in the next document. Okay. So the entire document is a document node. Every XML element is an element node. The text in the XML elements are text nodes, and comments are the comments nodes. Okay. So here we see another example. The XML DOM views an XML document as a node tree. So everything is representing as a nodes. Okay. So here we see we have a root node, then we have an element node, in this case, which is a book. That means that we have a root node in XML file, which is bookstore. And in that bookstore, we have many different book elements. Okay. So here we have book element, and the book element has further subchilds. In this case, it's the title, author, year, and price. Now, all these are different elements, and each element is treated as a node. In this case, the title has an attribute which is language. So it becomes a separate node. It becomes a separate node. And here we see that the text, the title has certain text, which is in this case Everyday Italian, which is the name of the book in this case. And here we see that this text is a separate node. It's not part of this node. Although it's a child node of this title node, but it's not integrated in this node. It is treated as a separate node. So in the DOM model, the root element is at the top, the root or the mother node is at the top. Then we have child nodes, and the text node is the leaf nodes, which are the last nodes in the document. Okay. So the DOM node has certain attributes, and these attributes can define what kind of a node it is. Okay, so here we have the DOM node, and it can have attributes itself for defining its own structure. It could have a parent node, it could be a child node. Okay, it could have a child node, it could have a parent node. If this is the root node, okay, its parent node will be a document node, which is by default the node of all the documents in the DOM model. Okay, and then it could have a first child or a last child. So in this case, for this node, this is the only child, okay, and this is the first and the child, last child node of this node. And then we could have sibling nodes. In this case, we do not have a sibling because this is on the next level. This is below. Okay, the sibling means that we have another name element. We have another name element. In that case, we will have a sibling node. But in this example, we do not have a sibling node. But we will see an example in this case. So here we see that all these different elements are on the same level. So this title has three siblings, okay, which is author, year, and price, because these are three different elements. All are child to this book element. Okay. Now, this DOM node has certain attributes, and it has certain methods also that we can use to do some manipulation. In this case, some of the methods are given. For example, insert before. So if you give a new child node here, and we have a reference child node, which is this one, so we are telling that add a new child node at this position in reference to this one, and insert before this one. So these are the methods that we can use to update this kind of node tree structure. Okay. So then we can replace child, we can remove child, reference to this name, and we can call a method remove child, and it will remove this node. We will see an example afterwards in the second session of this class. Okay, then it will become much more clear to you how to use these methods. Okay, but just to give you an idea, the DOM provides many such methods to do some processing on your DOM tree structure. So for example, that is the DOM node structure. It has three properties of itself that defines what the node is about. Here we said that the node can be an element, it can be an attribute, it can be a text document, it can be a child element. Okay. So this node needs to be defined, what kind of node it is. And that is defined by node type. Whether it's a document node, it's an element node, it's a child node, it's a text node, it's a C data node. We define it in front of this one. The second one is the node name. What is the name of the node? For example, in this case, it's an element node. Okay. It's an element node, the node type, and it has a node name, which is name. Okay. And it has a node value. In this case, it does not have a value. Okay. So the element node name does not have a value. If they have a value, it becomes the value of the text. And we will see an example in the next slide also. Then it could have further pointers to all these nodes. Now all these arrows that you see, that shows that it might have many different nodes which are associated with this parent node in this case. Okay. So that means it might have certain attributes, okay, that will have an additional separate node. It will have an owner document. If this is the root node, the owner will be a document node. So we will have a document node over here that will have its own properties. It could have a parent node. If it does not have any parents, the parent will be a document node, and that will be the owner document also. It could have previous siblings, next siblings, first child and last child. If it only has one child, then that becomes the first and the last child. So let's take an example to better see what we have been talking until now. So here we see an XML file. Okay. How many elements does it have? How many elements does it have? Anyone? Any rough guesses? 5? Who says 5? Who wants to say 5? Yes? 5. Okay. Yeah. If you are only talking about the XML, if we do not think it as a DOM model, if you only think it as an XML file, then how many elements do we have? 2 elements, right? The first one is the DVD, okay? Because we are starting the DVD and we are closing the DVD. That means we have one element, and the other element is the name, because we are starting the element name and we are closing it. So in the XML file, we have 2 elements. But when we are converting this XML file into the DOM structure file, that means for each of the elements, we need to have a separate node. And we also looked at that the attribute becomes a separate node in the document, and the text becomes a separate node in the document. Now, if you look, if you see how many nodes are there in this file, then you can tell me, okay, there are 4 nodes in the DOM model looking at this XML file, because the DVD is a one element which becomes one node. The name is another element which becomes the other node. The category is an attribute which becomes the third node. And the diehard, which is a text, which becomes a separate node. So when you're converting from this XML file to a DOM tree structure, you will have 4 nodes, right? But if you're converting this XML file into the tree visualization, now see the difference. Not the DOM XML tree, but the simple tree that we saw in the previous class. Then we will have only 2 nodes. But when we are converting into the document object model XML tree structure, then we will have 4 nodes. So you have to be very careful when you have been asked a question in the exam about this one. So you need to know what is asked from you in the exam. Don't confuse it. So here we see we have this element, which is the element node. We are defining now what kind of node it is. It's an element node. Its name is DVD and its node value is null. We can see it from here. It's an element node. Okay. It does not have a value. Okay. And it has a node name, which is DVD in this case. Okay. And now what are the attributes? We can see it from this example. So here we have this element node, node type element underscore node. The value is DVD, the name is DVD, and the value is null because it does not have any value. Now we have seen that it has an attribute. So the attribute is node type attribute type node. Okay. The name of that attribute is category, and the value of that attribute is action. So the attribute from this node becomes a separate node, and we define its 3 properties, which are part of the DOM node structure. Okay. And then we have the next element, which is a child to this one. In this case, it's the only child. That's why it's the first as well as the last child element. If we have more elements, then this one becomes the first, and whatever is the last one becomes the last element. So in this case, we see it's an element node. It has a name and the node value is null. Now in this case, it has a value diehard. And we said that the text becomes a separate node. So in this case, the text will be a text node. By default, the name of this text node is always hash text, okay, in the DOM model, and it has a value diehard. Now we have seen that this is the root node, and we see that each root node in the DOM model has an additional node, which is the mother of all nodes, and that is called the document node. So this document node should always be present in any case. Okay. So here we see its parent is this document node. So the node type is document node, node name is document, and it will always be hash document for the document node. And the node value is null. So it will always be like this until you explicitly define some other kind of document. Okay. So from this example, we see that it has two elements in the XML, but when we convert it into the DOM tree structure, it will have four nodes, and there will always be an additional node, which is the document node. Okay. Right. So in total, it has five nodes. Right. And then we have this XML file. Now you have seen how to convert your XML file into the DOM tree structure. So given this XML file, you can check how many elements, XML elements it has. Okay. And then you can check how many corresponding DOM nodes it should have from this XML file. Okay. So I can see that it has a nutrition daily value, two elements, then total fat, sodium, carbohydrates, carb, and proteins, four additional grand elements, okay, grand child nodes in this case. So it has 2 plus 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 total elements in the XML. But when we are converting it to the node structure, we see that it has a attribute. So that means this attribute will be a separate node. The sodium also has units, it will be a separate node. Carbohydrates has a separate unit, it will be a separate node. Protein has a separate unit, it will be attribute, it will be a separate node. And all of these has text values. That means all of these text values will be additional text nodes. Okay. So you can, by looking at this XML code, you can convert it into the DOM XML model. And then you can check how many nodes you need in order to represent its DOM tree structure. Right? Okay. So we will take a 15 minutes break, and then we can resume from here. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. Yes? In this one? Yeah, sure.
It's just text, so
I'll check that. I'll check that. Okay, sure.